You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I'm your host today, Guy Fieri. You can catch me on Twitter at FF_Flavortown. With me once again is Jetpack Galileo. You can catch him on Twitter at Jetpack Galileo. How are you doing, my man?
I'm good, brother. We're back.
It's good to be back. It is awesome to be back just hanging. We just shot the breeze for like 40 minutes before the show. Super fun to hang out. Before we get into the show today, I want to thank our sponsor, FTN. That's FadeTheNoise.com. Fade the Noise is your new one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports. They provide in-depth entertainment and analysis from industry-leading experts such as Brad Evans and Jeff Ratcliffe, while developing unique user-friendly tools to help you optimize your success on all fantasy platforms. They provide content in the forms of articles, podcasts, videos, live streams, and personal chats. It's the perfect mix of free and premium content. Their unique content features deep dive analytical features using analytical tools. There's also great video content that we actually help create at the FF Astronauts. So go ahead, check out FTNFantasy.com. Use our code ASTRO10 for 10% off. That's ASTRO10. Get yourself a nice little discount there. Better to pay part price than full price. Isn't that right, Jetpack?
Absolutely. Their content is phenomenal. Just top to bottom, everything that they put out is so stellar. And working with them and being able to produce some of my videos, all of the Galileo's GameScope videos that are going up on YouTube for free, that we're also putting them up on the FTN site too, also for free. But getting to work with them has been a lot of fun. They're a good group of guys.
Yeah. Would you say that you would be a fool if you did not use their tools?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What a waste. What a waste of a season to just throw it away.
Oh, don't be a fool. Use their tools.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Rhymes, you know?
what a setup. All right, so let's get
into just some week five thoughts here. A couple big pieces of news that have hit in week five and since then. So obviously the really big one is Le'Veon Bell has been released by the Jets. Surprising that he did not last as long as Adam Gase. I would have thought it would be the other way around. Do you have any thoughts on where Lev might land up? I've seen a couple names floated out there. Buffalo and Washington and the Bears are all names that have been floated out there. Are any spots, ones that stick out to you as where he might end up?
Yeah, I think the most realistic ones are in division. The Patriots mm-hmm. would be a great landing spot for him.
Yes.
He'd fit right in, and lining up next to Cam would be fantastic. And then the Bills, I think, is one of the other places that I really like. Just from a fantasy standpoint, that seems like a good fit too. So, you know, you're lining up either beside Cam or White Cam, and I think both of those things will look pretty good as far as the looks that Le'Veon Bell was going to get. Another one that some people are kind of saying is flying under the radar would be the Kansas City Chiefs. And if I was Ooh. Le'Veon Bell, that's where I would go. I wouldn't bother with the other two places. I mean, people don't really like playing under Belichick, and if you don't have to, and the lure of automatic Super Bowl contention is kind of off the table. Going and playing for the Chiefs would be amazing. And so, you know, what does that do to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in your mind, or what do you think about that comparison there?
Yeah, you mentioned that on Twitter, and I thought it was a very interesting thought. And I mean, honestly, it doesn't kill Clyde completely, but it is not good for him. It would likely be a 1-year deal. Like, wherever he signs, he's not going to be a multi-year deal. Otherwise, he would have gotten that a couple of years ago. So you're looking at 1-year deal, and it honestly might be good for Clyde long term, because Lev would be a great, great person to learn from. Just watching him and getting to work with him every day, obviously it would be great for the Chiefs, but you know, that immediately takes Clyde's RB1 upside out in 2020, and you're really looking at 2021. And so all those number one overall picks that he went, sure, it could still end up being worth it, but now you're having to have half a season where he's splitting time with Lev taking some key receiving downs. And you know, like Lev is still a very good running back. Like, regardless of what you say, you've seen him in the New York with the New York Jets with Adam Gase. Like, that is a terrible, terrible picture of who Le'Veon Bell is. And so I think if he goes to the Chiefs, he's immediately elevated from where he was with the Jets, even though he's in a timeshare with Clyde. It's such an upgrade for him. And it's a very frustrating fantasy football move for everyone involved, but it is a very good real life football move. I do really like the Buffalo Bills. I think he immediately steps in there. And again, that's a team that looks like a contender. If you take away this past week where I have no idea what the heck went on, the Bills make a lot of sense because that's a team that looks like they could be a contender, and he would immediately be better than both Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. So I like both of those two options as my top ones. If you're looking for a spot where, you know, he's going to see the most immediate, not success, but the most immediate volume, Patriots make the most sense. I also think the Bears are a sneaky contender because they just lost Tariq Cohen and they need a receiving back. So as much as that would stink for David Montgomery owners, I think Le'Veon Bell to Chicago actually makes a decent amount of success sense as well.
Yeah, I think wherever he's going to go, he's going to destroy somebody's outlook.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Lev and Clyde, they're really the same guy. Clyde's like a poor man's Le'Veon Bell. And so if you can get a free upgrade and you're the Kansas City Chiefs, there's no reason not to do that. Lev gets paid $18 million this year. That's how much he is against the Jets dead cap. So he's already made his money. Easy. Like, let me just go win the Super Bowl with Pat Mahomes, and then I can take my $9 million a year or $8 million a year or whatever it ends up being after the season just to ride out my career. But I mean,
Chiefs makes too much sense.
Yeah, Chiefs would be great.
Yeah. Absolute fantasy nightmare, absolute real life NFL.
Oh,
awesome. Yeah. Incredible.
Absolute dream.
Yeah. So that's there's your Le'Veon Bell thoughts. Let's talk about Justin Herbert. Is he for real? Is he the dude?
Yeah, man. I remember we were scouting him. We said, how does he look? What's all the hype about? He looks so ordinary. And I think it might be a little bit different when you're throwing to Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, I guess. I don't know. He's been lights out. It's been great.
Yeah. One of my pre-draft thoughts was Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa. Like, the difference between them is not too much, or the tier break between them was not too much. So I actually really like Justin Herbert. I was not sure that he would get a chance to start because Tyrod Taylor is a completely different type of quarterback. And so you would have to very much change the offensive style to do a swap where, okay, we have Tyrod in for 10 games and then now we have to swap for the last couple games. So having Tyrod be out and then just seeing Justin Herbert unleash, like, that's been awesome. He honestly kind of reminds me of a Josh Allen, because he's a big dude. He's running over linebackers. When he trucked a linebacker and injured him, I'm in on him. And then when I see him threading the needle to Keenan Allen in triple coverage and completing the pass, I'm like, this guy has some plums. You know, he is ready to just chuck the ball. He does not care. So I really liken him to a less strong arm version of Josh Allen, which is pretty good. I mean, if you've seen the way Josh Allen has progressed, it's been pretty solid. And all of a sudden, I mean, you're seeing Justin Herbert throw the ball better than Josh Allen right away. So I'm big on Justin Herbert right now. I absolutely love the guy for fantasy.
Yeah, I think what we're finding is college stats don't matter. College film, maybe, but yeah, probably not, right? The only thing that matters is, does the dude have plums?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you talk about Pat Mahomes. That dude does.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Lamar Jackson. What do you think about him? Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Josh Allen. I mean, Mitch Trubisky did not.
No, Mitch, no.
Deshaun? I thought maybe.
Deshaun?
Oh, Deshaun, yes.
No brainer.
Deshaun does. Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick? Tell me, that dude doesn't have the biggest in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, he's the number one quarterback in the league.
Right. Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, gutsy. Well, can we talk about how great Ryan Tannehill is? He is everything that he was last year, right?
Yep.
the whole thing was, oh man, Ryan Tannehill, he's finally breaking out. And then nobody bought it in the offseason.
Yep.
Everybody, you know, happy for him on the side, but you know, you treat him like your cousin or nephew that you don't want to see, and you just like let him go.
Yep.
Off and do his own thing. But he's back now in the limelight after beating the Bills, destroying the Bills.
Yeah.
Really almost by himself. Just total stud.
He was so good.
Yeah.
And on top of that, how about Jonnu Smith? This is the breakout season we were hoping for Jonnu for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
We're finally getting it.
I'm proud of that one. That's one of my most exciting hits has been Jonnu. The whole thing is he's a great athlete, and you know, plug him into a system that there's only one other option to throw to, right? He's got to be the guy. So.
Oh yeah. And then 2 touchdowns this past week. Real quick, Michael Fabiano just tweeted, it might mean nothing, but Le'Veon Bell just followed Patrick Mahomes on Twitter.
There you go.
I don't know. I think we're looking at the beginnings of something fun here.
Yes. That is terrifying.
It is terrifying for everyone. And then Dak Prescott is the other big thing that happened. He is definitely out for the season. Already had ankle surgery, the dislocation and fracture. I mean, oh my gosh, that was hard to look at. I have nightmares about that play.
Yeah.
Rough, very rough to watch. It's going to impact him this offseason. He's not going to get the same contract that he was hoping for. Dallas is saying that he's going to stay there. Do you think he stays in Dallas, or do you think he tests the market?
I think Andy Dalton is the real deal, and I'm all in on Andy Dalton.
Oh yeah.
How about
the
that?
Red Ryder BB gun, baby. Yeah.
So okay. If Andy Dalton goes 8-8 and they miss the playoffs just like they did last year, what do you do if you're Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Dak worth $45 million? No, absolutely not. Would Dak take 35? What did Pat get? Yeah. Pat got
45.
Pat got 10 years, 500 mil?
I think Pat 490.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, if we're paying Dak in the 36 range, I think we can make that happen. But not like 45 like he was hoping to get. He lost a good chunk of change with that.
He did.
So,
there have to be other teams that would want him. Like Washington, I'm sure, would want him.
Yeah, I mean,
there are other teams that would offer him the same, if not more, than Dallas would. So, I'm interested to see what happens with Dak. I think Andy Dalton is going to play well. That is the NFC East is so bad. Andy Dalton could go out, mess around, and win the NFC East. It wouldn't be too hard.
Oh yeah, no.
They're already in first. And they've only won 2 games.
Yeah, Dalton's going to be great. I'm all in on Dalton.
The Bears have as many wins as the entire conference. Or division, rather.
Wow, really?
Well, I mean...
Oh my gosh.
Don't quote me on that.
No, that can't be true.
Yes, they do.
No, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Eagles are 1-2-1. Washington is 1-3. Cowboys are 1-3. Giants are 0-4. The Bears are 4-1.
Oh my!
The Bears have more wins than the entire NFC East. Wow. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I cannot. That is quite the.
Actually, that'll be corrected. Cowboys won this week. So okay. that ties them.
Ties. All right. Okay.
Golly.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. The Bears have as many wins as the NFC East.
Yeah. So Andy Dalton winning the division for sure.
Yes.
Lock it in.
And then Dak doesn't get paid.
Bummer.
We'll just ride it out with Andy Dalton and invest in your defense. That's a smart move.
We'll pay Andy Dalton 18 mil.
If,
I mean, that's a lot for Andy Dalton, but
you may not even need that.
But man, people, if Andy Dalton wins the division and they pay him 18 mil, people will be, they'll be okay with that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because you finally won the division. This is the year for Andy Dalton to to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, they're fully loaded. That roster is, that offense,
the offense is so good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, right anyway, that's those are the week five thoughts. Did you have any more to round out week five?
It was good seeing Alex Smith play again. I mean, it was really great for the game of football.
Yes.
Scared for Terry McLaurin, but hey, we'll get a better matchup next week, and we'll move on from there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So week five, I felt like we had a lot of fun games. Chargers Saints was a fun one. Vikings Seahawks was fun. Giants Cowboys was fun. You know, Bucks Bears, the defensive battle, it was an exciting one to watch, at least. The Raiders Chiefs, you know, so there are a bunch of like fun games. This week doesn't feel like there's as many fun games. Like the Dolphins and the Jets isn't exciting. Chiefs and Bills is like there. I don't know. Ravens and Eagles, that one's not going to be that fun. The Browns and Steelers, I'm not super thrilled about that one. We'll talk about a couple of these, but the one I'm most excited for is Falcons Vikings.
Oh yeah. As
weird as that sounds, like that matchup is just, it's just a dream to watch a fun game. got the Washington versus the Giants. That's this week. Lions Jaguars. So there's not a ton of thrilling games, but there are one or two that I'm looking forward to. So let's dive into a couple of those. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's start with the Falcons Vikings. I mean, you have a bad defense on both sides, and you have electric wide receivers on both sides. Dalvin Cook is likely going to miss this game. Julio Jones will likely miss this game. So Calvin Ridley and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen look like they are all set to just absolutely go off. Is there anyone else on that Falcons offense that you find enticing this week with the prospect of Julio Jones maybe not playing?
Yeah, I think Russell Gage, I don't mind going back to him. You know, Olamide Zaccheaus, he was disappointing last week, filling in for Julio. So that was a bummer. I think Russ is he's in line for a decent game. That, I mean, there's nobody on the Vikings that can really cover. So yeah, it's going to be great all the way around.
Yes, I agree. Todd Gurley should have a solid game. What do you think about Hayden Hurst this game? Is he a guy that you see maybe getting a little bit more volume? I know we have a change in coaching there in Atlanta. Is this something that you think positively affects Hayden Hurst? I don't know much about the coaching change, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you can always say Hayden Hurst will be relevant or can get looks, but there's nothing to really hang your hat on to say, yeah, he's ready for that next step. Part of that is because Matt Ryan has been really disappointing this season. We were ready for the even year Matt Ryan, or Matt Ryan's getting his second year with Dirk Cutter, and he's just really underwhelmed. And I know Julio's been injured or whatever, but just in general, right? They haven't won anything, and he's just been pretty meh. So, hopefully he can continue to make strides or figure it out at least. And I love Calvin Ridley in this matchup.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley is he's going to be the wide receiver one on the week. Adam Thielen, who's the wide receiver one overall in fantasy, I see. He's the Falcons.
My man.
The Falcons' defensive backs are just so obliterated right now. Justin Jefferson, it's going to be so... It's going to be such a fun game if the Vikings decide they want to throw the ball a lot, because they're going to have every opportunity to throw the ball. Kirk Cousins is the game for Kirk Cousins to throw the ball a ton, because the defensive backs for the Falcons are just so bad, and you're missing Dalvin Cook potentially this week. So why not just lean on the wide receivers a little bit more heavily? That makes a lot of sense for me in this game plan.
Yeah. The whole deal with, well, okay. So I think Alexander Mattison is going to show out, right?
Yeah.
He'll get 20 carries or whatever, and he'll have a great game. So Thielen's such a stud. So he's like an automatic start. Justin Jefferson, automatic start. But I think Madison will be the big name here.
Yeah. He's definitely going to be a game or a guy worth starting this week. yeah, very, very excited about that game. Should be electric offensively, and I'm hoping for just a ton of points scored, like 40 points each side would be really fun. I think everyone would enjoy that.
Yeah.
For as fun of a game as that's going to be, there's an equally bad game in Washington versus the Washington football team versus the New York Giants.
Ugh.
You know, like that's kind of where we're at. And I think you saw David Montgomery had his best game against the Giants. And so I'm pretty excited about Antonio Gibson. I think he could, he's the guy, granted, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't sign there, he's the guy that is the most exciting for me in this Washington game, especially if it's Alex Smith playing quarterback and, you know, Dwayne Haskins isn't showing up to practice and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It looks to me like let's lean on Antonio Gibson. Let's do some check down passes and let him run all over this this defense that has just given up a ton of points and not won a single game this year. So Terry McLaurin, not super excited because of the quarterback play, although it is a decent matchup. I'm most excited about, I mean, in this entire game, I'm not really excited about anyone except for Antonio Gibson. Am I wrong?
No, I'm right with you. He's $5,500 on DraftKings. So he's very affordable. And I think just in terms of guys that I'm going to make sure that I have in a lot of lineups, he's definitely one of them. Yeah, with Terry, the deal is this is your eval game for what you think Alex Smith is going to be. Is Alex Smith going to be the type of quarterback that he was in Kansas City where he never threw a touchdown to a receiver for like 3 years or whatever? Or is he going to be able to figure out how to use Terry McLaurin, his best player?
Right.
There's no doubt about that. So
I mean, the thing that really kills Terry McLaurin is, and I'm pulling up some stats, is the yards per attempt and even the air yards per attempt from Alex Smith. And Terry, who is this deep threat guy because he is he's so explosive, he's been averaging 8, 12, 10, 8 yards per target. And then all of a sudden versus the Rams, that drops to 3.7. You know, I mean, on his in his career, his 2 years, I guess, he's averaging 9 to 10 yards per target. This is such a big drop off. Alex Smith is averaging 2.18 yards per attempt. 17 attempts, he's averaging 2.18 yards per attempt. That almost completely limits Terry McLaurin's upside. That is huge for guys like Antonio Gibson. But if you're just looking at how Alex Smith played in the first game and probably will play in this game, it's just the Terry McLaurin's ceiling is so capped because it is such a different style of football than he's used to playing. I think that's the biggest stat for me, is that Alex Smith is not throwing the ball downfield literally at all.
Yeah. I think part of it had to do with the rain, and part of it had to do with the pressure the Rams are able to bring. So with the Giants, you're less concerned about that, right? That it's not like they have any big name pass rushers, right, or anybody to be worried about. So I'm a little more optimistic, but it's definitely an eval game. It's not something where he's going to show up for me in a lot of lineups.
I mean, what do you have Terry McLaurin as this week? Would you be comfortable starting him in your top two wide receivers?
No, he'd be flex for me if I can't fit a running back in on a bye week.
That's kind of where I'm at too. He's kind of guy that's on the outs. I mean, because you didn't draft him as your wide receiver one, right, so you likely have other guys, but he's not a guy that I feel super comfortable starting this week. So it's unfortunate because you finally thought he was getting unlocked a little bit. He was playing very well. And then Dwayne Haskins benched for what appears to be no reason. And now all of a sudden Terry McLaurin's suffering as well. But let's talk about the Chiefs versus the Bills a little bit. This is a game that that is very exciting for me just as an NFL fan, because these are two teams that are coming off of losses that should not have happened. And they're both teams that want to prove themselves. They're both teams that have good quarterback plays, good wide receivers, And the defense is not as stout as you think it would be. So it should be a fun offensive game all around, but it's really great for just kind of a playoff preview. And who are these teams? Are these, can these two teams be resilient? So for a lot of reasons, I really like it. I think the thing that I'm realizing now with the Bills is I thought Stephon Diggs would suffer this year having Josh Allen as his quarterback. And that's just not the case. That was probably my worst call of the offseason, was downgrading Stephon Diggs because of Josh Allen. I should not have done that. And my teams are suffering for that. But what do you think of this game overall?
It's going to be great. Yeah, like you're saying, both surprise losses. Did you watch the Raiders Chiefs? It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they went toe for toe. Yeah. Blow for blow, toe to toe. It was, wow. And then I think this game will be a lot of fun. Overall, Josh Allen, I expect him to perform well.
Yeah. You have to remember also Josh Allen likely tore his labrum in his non-throwing arm. Like, that's still painful. He did not run the ball hardly at all against the Titans. There's next to no confidence there for him running the ball. So I expect another week of practice, another week of him getting used to how that thing feels. I expect him to run the ball a little bit more. So that kind of opens up different things in the playbook. Even though it's his non-throwing shoulder, you have to think that that's still a very painful thing. That's still a lot of torque that you're putting on your non-throwing shoulder. So even though he's not throwing with that arm, that's still throwing him off. Like, he did not look 100% this week, and I expect another week of him being used to that and how that feels. He should step back up. I think it'll be right back to where he was. And then obviously Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. You throw a sling on that thing, and because quarterbacks aren't going to use their hand, their left arm. So right. Yeah, he'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It's just a weird thing. All of a sudden, you have to get used to throwing with a brace on or the Sully on. The thing that is going to be difficult for the Bills will be the Kelce and Tyreek matchups. Tre'Davious White did not play in this past game with a back designation on the injury report. So if he's not playing, the Bills secondary is not built for speed right now. You need to have Tre'Davious White out there to have any prayer at hanging with Tyreek. They're much more built to be a physical defense than they are to be a blazing fast defense. So I think Tyreek has a great matchup this week, and I think Travis Kelce has a pretty solid matchup as well. You saw what Jonnu was able to do, and Travis Kelce is significantly better than Jonnu. So I expect both those guys to have good games, because the Bills defense is just super banged up right now. So I expect a shootout here. Pat Mahomes just kind of funneling targets to Tyreek and Travis Kelce. The run defense for the Bills, actually decent. Derrick Henry did not go crazy. They looked significantly better up front, but again, still banged up. So I think this, I'm really excited, and I want to start, not that I'm benching anyone in the Chiefs game, but like, if I'm looking for an upside play, all of a sudden DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy Watkins have incredible upside because the Bills defense is so banged up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the spread here is -3.5 points for the Chiefs. Where are you at on that?
I think the Chiefs probably win by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs by double digits.
Yeah, I think for me, it's really going to depend on Tre'Davious White. I think he's a big key to that defense, and missing him is missing a lot. So I think if Tre'Davious White's out there, I think that keeps it significantly closer. If he's not playing yet, it could be a double digit win. I think that's fair. What's the point total at?
Well, let me look it up.
Because that's what I'm really, when I was looking last time, or 2 weeks ago rather, it was interesting to see how many it was interesting to see what the points totals were at, because those were, I don't typically look at those every single week because I kind of have an idea, but looking at the actual numbers, and what I thought the plus or minus would be there, it was fun for me to say, okay, I want to have DFS lineups with these players in because Vegas thinks these will be the higher scoring games. And this week, I think you go Falcons, Vikings, Chiefs, Bills. Those are your, like, if you have those two games in your DFS lineups, you're pretty set.
Yeah. 57.5 for Chiefs, Bills. That's something I'm trying to get more consistent with, is putting a lot of players in these Vegas total games where the overall points are higher. Those games are great. So
yeah,
Cardinals Cowboys, that could be an amazing game.
And that's the one that's up next. I think that's going to be a really fun game to watch. Zeke, I think, gets an upgrade here with Andy Dalton. We know we talked about him a little bit. I think Zeke gets a little bit of an upgrade here with Andy Dalton being the quarterback. Not that Andy Dalton's bad, but I think they lean on the run game a little bit more if Andy Dalton is kind of leading the charge there, rather than letting Dak kind of do his thing and throw for infinity yards every game. This will be a fun one. You have CD Lamb, and then you have CD Lamb plus in DeAndre Hopkins. So I really like watching both these guys. They're very similar players to me. And so I think seeing them both on the same field is going to be really fun.
Yeah, totally. So the Cardinals lost Chandler Jones. He tore his bicep. Right. So I think that's huge for this game, and it puts it back into contention a little bit, where, the Cowboys have a real chance. Before, I would just say, hey, Kyler Murray is just going to do whatever he wants, just like everybody else has done against the Cowboys. But I think not having the pass rush to really concern Andy Dalton, and it's not like Patrick Peterson has ever stopped anybody from doing anything for a very long period of time. So I think Cowboys can stay in it, and it does end up turning into a shootout. Their total line or their points total is 54.5.
That's another good one.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid.
And I mean, these are the all the Cowboys games have been very high scoring. You look at I'm trying to pull this up. You look at this past week, they scored 37 points. They scored 38 points. They scored 31 points. The fewest points they scored was 17. I mean, they've been 30 plus every single game except for week one, 40 in week two against the Falcons. So this is a high powered offense, and you have three legitimate receiving weapons none of Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup are a surprise anymore. But do you have a preference of any of those three?
CeeDee Lamb, I think. So Dalton needs a guy that he's comfortable with, and usually that's going to be somebody going over the middle. So CeeDee Lamb, I think, is a buy pretty much anywhere in any DFS lineup, because he's always going to be cheaper than Amari Cooper, but he can outperform him anytime. So
that's absolutely true. Move.
Yeah.
Is CeeDee Lamb the clear-cut rookie wide receiver one at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I'd go Lamb one, Jefferson two, Claypool?
Maybe. Let's talk about Chase Claypool. Do you think he can repeat? I mean, obviously not four touchdowns, but do you think Chase Claypool can put up wide receiver one numbers again?
Yeah, so I think he's now locked in a wide receiver two spot because Deontay Johnson is out, or he has not been practicing with the concussion.
Right.
So that's huge, right? I'm a big Deontay Johnson fan. I think he's a good ball player, but you can never ignore a four touchdown game. It's automatically like, oh, this guy, he's going to start. So very exciting for Chase Claypool. We were like, oh yeah, Chase would be a fantastic tight end, and he'll probably take time to develop as a receiver and maybe be that Vincent Jackson kind of guy. And here we are, just like that. Right. Never doubt the Steelers and their ability to scout wide receivers and know what they're doing when they get a guy. That's the real lesson here. Whoever is scouting the receivers for the Steelers knows what they're doing. Claypool, I love him. So is he the wide receiver three, though? Who else would be in that conversation? You got Judy, for Ayuk, Ruggs.
Rager. I mean, we haven't seen Rager at any this year, but I mean, if you're still holding on to upside, the Eagles wide receiver one in any given game is averaging 94 yards per game.
Yeah.
So if you still believe in Rager's upside once he gets off IR with this thumb injury, like that's a very potent offense to step into with no clear cut wide receiver one. Jalen Rager still has to be in that discussion, even though he's not done anything yet, just based on upside of this offense.
Yeah, I think I'll place Claypool around. I put him at probably four behind Higgins. So I go Higgins 3, Claypool 4, and then maybe Rager 5. Rager's dropped a good amount, and I want to see Judy with Locke, and Locke comes back this week. So that'll be important. Yeah. Yeah, these guys all shift. But the only concern really with Claypool is when Ben retires, what does it look like next season? Does he retire next season? I think he's going to end up getting hurt. So
does Dak go to Pittsburgh?
Wow.
Huh? What about Sam Darnold in Pittsburgh?
Also pretty good.
Man. Wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, you know, there's some options there. Yeah. So not too afraid. Yeah, you got to believe in the talent. So, yeah, putting Claypool, though, in the top five, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You got a freak athlete who can ball when he gets volume. And you've seen, he can play receiver and is not having any issues getting off of coverage or whatever. So already showing out that he was better doing some things last Sunday than
you know who I liken him to right now? Martavis Bryant in this offense.
Yeah. But he's just tougher.
Yeah. Like Martavis had 92 targets in 2015. You know? That's if you get Chase Claypool 92 targets this season, that's a huge win. And then you obviously are hoping for not having the drug problems that Martavis had, but like that feels like it's a very fair to expect probably just under 1,000 yards and just under 100 targets for Chase Claypool this season, does it not?
Yeah, no, we're looking at a dude, that's for sure.
Looking at a dude.
That is for sure.
Yeah. Free, and everyone knew he was a freak athlete. It was just, can he develop? Is he going to be a polished wide receiver? Which I don't think he is yet, but he is such a freak athlete that and Big Ben likes his freak athletes. You know, he's such a freak athlete that you can get the ball in his hands. And if you can figure out a way to get the ball in his hands, he's going to score 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I mean, yes, 100%. Can you figure out what's going on with the Cardinals running backs for me? Back to the Cardinals, Cowboys. What's the deal? What am I going to do? What are we going to do here?
I was so, this is so frustrating because I was so high on Kenyon Drake. But it's, you cannot figure it out because, let me pull these up right here. He's, Kenyon Drake is averaging 3.7 yards per carry, you know, which is his career low. Everywhere else has been 4.5 and above, you know. Arizona last year, he was 5 yards a carry. And now all of a sudden he's at 3.7. Chase Edmonds, you're looking, I mean, also not great. He's at 3.8 yards a carry. So it's not like one is playing better than the other necessarily, but I don't know. Chase Edmonds getting 19 carries so far, and Kenyon Drake getting 85. So, you obviously have Kenyon Drake as getting the higher volume, but their snap share is what I'm looking here. You got Chase Edmonds at a 45% snap share this past week. Yep. It's continually going up. So anytime you have someone with, especially a running back with their snap share in the 45 percentile, you're worried about the bell cow nature of the other guy. So Kenyon Drake, obviously still in the 60s, but you were hoping for significantly more out of Kenyon Drake and significantly less out of Chase Edmonds. So Chase Edmonds caps Kenyon Drake's ceiling. I still like Kenyon Drake as a RB2 flex type guy, but I'm not excited about him any given week because all of a sudden Chase Edmonds could hop in there and steal a touchdown, which he's done twice this season already. Once this season rushing and twice this season receiving, and Kenyon Drake just has not. He's had same number of less touchdowns than Chase Edmonds.
Yep.
You know, and
that's all that fantasy is, guessing the touchdowns. So, but
yeah.
Okay. So, Kenyon Drake or David Johnson?
I'll go David Johnson.
Okay. Kenyon Drake or Le'Veon Bell?
And obviously, this is rest of season. I'll go Kenyon Drake because I have no idea where Le'Veon Bell is going to land.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyone else for me?
Kenyon Drake or Antonio Gibson?
Ooh. Gosh. You know what? I'm a ceiling guy. I'll take Antonio Gibson because I like the ceiling play that you know, if I'm looking for someone that I'm like, okay, he's going to get me 10 points. If I'm looking for 10 points, all right, I'll put Kenyon Drake in. I'll take Kenyon Drake because if I'm playing a team where I'm like, you know what, I just need to score a certain number of points, I'll take Kenyon Drake. But if I'm playing against a team that is a contender and I'm looking to beat them, give me Antonio Gibson all day because I want that upside. So I guess it really depends on who I'm playing against, but most of the time I think I'll take Antonio Gibson there. Wow. Although it is close.
Okay. Okay. All right. Here's a realistic. Kenyon Drake or Nick Chubb?
Is this Dynasty?
Nope.
Oh, Kenyon Drake. What?
How long is Chubb out?
I mean, for a while, isn't he?
Okay, Kenyon Drake or Christian McCaffrey?
I feel like Nick Chubb probably is like 6 to 8 weeks out. Who was that last one?
Christian McCaffrey or Kenyon Drake?
Oh, Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Easily.
Mike Davis or Kenyon Drake?
That's tough. I give Mike Davis maybe 2 more weeks of relevance. So
Mike Davis, because Kenyon Drake has that 0 weeks of relevance.
Yeah, no, I go Kenyon Drake.
Okay, all right. I think I'm done. I've exhausted the.
Needless to say, this Cardinals Cowboys game is going to be exciting, but we don't know what to do about the Cardinals backfield. Cowboys fairly predictable, even with Andy Dalton, I think. Slight bump to Zeke, maybe a slight downgrade to Amari and Gallup, but that's pretty predictable there. Let's talk real quick. Bears Panthers isn't anything that I'm super excited about, except I'm interested to see how Teddy Bridgewater does. This is a pretty good pass defense by the Bears, so I'm not super thrilled about Teddy Bridgewater or the wide receivers there, specifically DJ Moore, which has been frustrating this year. But the Panthers just lost their D tackle. What's his name? Kawan
Short. That's a huge loss.
Kawan Short. So all of a sudden, the Panthers defense, who's already 32nd ranked in the league against the rush, loses Kawan Short, and this is a field day for David Montgomery. So I'm excited for David Montgomery, another breakout week. He looks like he has an easier slate. He's played two of the most difficult rush defenses in the league so far, and he's done so with Mitch Trubisky, and then one game with Nick Foles. So I think David Montgomery is the guy that I'm excited about in this game. And it's the first time I'm really excited to start David Montgomery with confidence this season.
Yeah, $5,800 on DraftKings, that's a no-brainer. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, easy.
You have to. Second rushing touchdown of the season coming this week. Maybe the third rushing touchdown of the season for him. So, big one there. The opposite is Joe Mixon versus the Colts defense. That is a dumpster fire of a matchup. And I don't like it.
No. forget it. Mixon's schedule is tough. And yeah, just the whole problem with him has been the rest of the team sucks. He got some good looks against the Jags, but that's it. That's all he's going to get.
Now tell me, do you think, and I posted this on Twitter earlier today, Jeff Ratcliffe said I might be crazy for it. For this week, would you go Miles Gaskin versus the Jets or Joe Mixon versus the Colts?
Gaskin.
That's what I'm leaning, and that's what I have already done in my lineup.
Wow.
And one of them.
Yeah, because, Joe Mixon has been so disappointing.
Yeah, incredibly disappointing. And, I mean, you can he can salvage it. He's been getting more more work in the passing game, but even still, this is a Colts defense that is incredibly stingy. Incredibly stingy. So, not a mixing guy this week. We'll
revisit it later.
we'll revisit that one. That one's going to be rough for him, I think. I think this is going to be a rough week for the Bengals just in general. How about the Rams versus the broken 49ers defense? The Rams run game has been exceptional this year, kind of finding Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown in spurts, and looks like Cam Akers was the most efficient running back that the Rams had this past week. Now you're a Niners guy, so is this Niners defense something that can stop this three-pronged run game, or do you think the running backs are going to have a pretty significant week? Already know the wide receivers should play well against a pretty badly beaten secondary, but what about the run game?
Yeah, the big deal with the Niners is everybody's hurt, and so if you can throw on them, then you're spreading them out so far, and you can do whatever you want. And that flexibility that's built into being able to attack any of the cornerbacks that they're signing off the street allows you to build whatever you want in the run game. And so, I'm very worried. I think the Rams will take this game. I don't think it'll be particularly that impressive in terms of, we just watched the Dolphins destroy the Niners.
Right.
I don't think the Niners are, and this, it's all about the talent, right? You know, we can talk all we want about coaching scheme, but if you don't have the guys to run it, then it doesn't matter. And they just simply don't have the guys. They're all hurt.
Right.
When you're seeing that kind of situation, I think you have to play every single Rams player you can find.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you have a thought on which, because I've been a huge Cam Akers hoper this year. I wouldn't even say truther. I'm very hopeful for Cam Akers. And do you think he's going to, with his uptick in efficiency and finally he's healthy, do you think he has a chance to take over this backfield, or do you think they'll stick with the committee backfield and it's going to be a little bit frustrating?
No, they'll be committee. I think they'll keep it frustrating. That seems very on brand for what you would do in a post Todd Gurley era.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam got 13 snaps. He looked good, but
I mean, you have to. I'm not saying to start him this week, but I mean, if he can, he's kind of a guy that I'm very hopeful, because I've never been a big Darrell Henderson. Even after these big games, he's been kind of hit or miss and salvaged with a pass or a receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown. But other than that, a kind of a quiet game. But touchdowns are everything.
Yeah, so there's no reason for them not to give every player 20 snaps,
right,
in the Rams backfield. So,
absolutely,
it just really kind of stinks. But yeah, that's the deal, and they'll be able to with the Niners. You can do whatever you want. So,
do you have any thought on who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Niners?
Oh, Jimmy G for sure. Yeah, no, I don't think it was a long term benching. It was just welcome back. You better pay attention now. I mean, the guy, his brain never caught up with his release. He is so quick with his decision making, but he doesn't think about what he's doing. His release is phenomenal. So when he knows where it's going to go, when the defense gives him a clear read, like, it's easy. But if he gets any sort of pressure, he's freaking out a little bit. And so that's been really disappointing to see. This guy has some physical talent that's exciting. But in order to take the next step, you have to be able to do a little bit more. and take some shots and not be so concerned. But that's really been a challenge for him for longer than just this season. So, yeah, hopefully he can step up.
He does have the weapons now. Brandon Ayuk looking like everything we were hoping he would be. I mean, Where does he rank in your rookie rankings?
Yeah, he'd probably be 7 or 8. I mean,
yeah,
he's so like I still have him right there with Bryan Edwards. Yeah. But he's you know, that's really close to Ruggs. They're all really close. I mean, it's so deep. But I love Ayuk. I think he's a real ball player. It's all about the volume. And I don't think none of these quarterbacks are wanting to throw it deep. As soon as they realize that they can, and they can throw it past 15 yards, they can throw it to somebody other than Kittle, then I think we have a real team. That you have to see that first before you make any proclamation that this is what's going to happen. And, you know, we haven't even sniffed anything like that. Watching the game with Nick Mullins starting, it was so sad. It was like reliving the Alex Smith and JT O'Sullivan and Sean Hill era. And I am so traumatized from all of that, just to see, like, you know, the guys not even looking downfield and just taking whatever they could get every single play. It was miserable. And, you know, doing the same thing against the Miami Dolphins, it was all bad. So definitely going to need to see Jimmy G step up. As soon as he does, though, I'm making sure I'm buying Brandon Ayuk in any sort of redraft format. Not just saying like, oh yeah, I want him in Dynasty. I'm already there. But if I see any glimpse of Jimmy G getting some swagger back, then that unlocks Ayuk for me, I think.
Yeah. I think, yeah, Ayuk, the way that Shanahan's using him is creative as well. He's getting the ball in his hands because he's a playmaker. You just want to see him used differently than Debo, you know, and right now it kind of looks like they're using him kind of like a faster Debo, and that's not what they should do. So we'll be excited as they start to unlock the deep passing game. I'm all in on Ayuk dynasty wise. I have him several places. I'm waiting for maybe one more week before he's where I'm like, okay, he's a flex guy. You know, I want to see how he does with Jimmy Garoppolo before I say, okay, yeah, he's a flex guy for me in redraft. And
don't I think it's going to be this week.
No, probably not.
No,
probably not. But you know, it's all right. We can wait another week. He's basically free right now in redraft league.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dynasty, I mean,
pretty expensive.
Yeah, looking at the Niners, they're gonna need to pass more, so the volume's gonna be there. I think they could legitimately go 6-10 or 7-9. That's how their schedule is so hard, and you know, defensively they're gonna have to piece it together, or Sherman's gonna have to come back soon. So yeah, they're gonna be more competitive in terms of fantasy passing volume, and so that's really your hope, is if you get a guy where you know the matchup is the pass rush isn't going to kill Jimmy, and there's not like an elite corner, then that might be one where I toss a dart towards Ayuk or even Debo, but in that range. But you have to look for very specific scenarios.
Yeah, no, you absolutely do. Last guy I want to talk about real quick, just because I'm a Bears fan, Darnell Mooney. He's been getting a lot of love. He's the Bears wide receiver 2 right now. He's jumped ahead of Anthony Miller on the depth chart in snap share. And this is a guy who you go back and you look at his stuff, and he wasn't a speed guy until the combine. I don't know if most people realize that he's a guy that caught a ton of slants. He's a guy that caught a ton of jump balls like this. He wasn't I'm just a deep threat. He was a complete wide receiver at Tulane. Granted, he's small, and then now he's plugged into an offense where if you just look at the numbers, you're like, oh, this guy's a speed guy, he's just a deep threat. But he's a very good route runner, and because of his speed, he's getting separation and getting the targets. Granted, the Bears offense isn't producing the way we want it to, but like he's the wide receiver 2 jumping ahead of Anthony Miller, who we all loved. Is this a guy that you're like what would you do to acquire him in Dynasty, or would you acquire him in Dynasty at this point?
Well, so I'd rather have Travis Fulgham than I would Darnell.
That's fair.
You know, and so he's got to be pretty low on that list to be relevant behind Allen Robinson, I don't know that there's any going to be any fantasy option that's exciting. But I can appreciate what you're saying about Darnell Mooney. I don't know what I would give for him though. Where are you at?
He was a fourth round pick, and he's probably like a third round rookie pick value wise at this point. Maybe a second if you have a Bears fan like me. But he's someone that I could see that I see having potential. That I see that, okay, why can't he be Henry Ruggs, except for the volume, because Henry Ruggs is the wide receiver one on his team. Except for the volume argument, why can't he be everything that Henry Ruggs is?
Oh,
they do all the same stuff.
I don't think he's as physical as Ruggs.
No, maybe not. He's smaller for sure. What does Ruggs weigh?
Ruggs is 190, 188. Yeah.
I mean,
he's not as physical as Ruggs. That'd be the main difference. No. But yeah, I mean, he can statistically he can put up some games. Like you're saying, right? Ruggs just had two catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Mooney can do that. Yeah, he can put that out. Yeah, I get what you're saying there.
I mean, it's not perfect, but I mean, they both prefer. They're both not the like just a deep ball guy. They're both, oh, let's feed him underneath, but also you can take the top off the defense, but also you can win a jump ball. Like,
yeah,
more well-rounded receivers with speed.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, like, as far as Mooney goes, if he's really the two, what kind of games do you end up starting him? Do you have any sort of belief in Nick Foles? How realistic is it for you to say, I'm going to play him in DFS or whatever?
Those are the questions. I think it's a little bit more of a question. I think Nick Foles is getting used to the offense, right? They had to change the offense. So you're getting Nick Foles in his third game right now. And so you're not seeing the Bears offense where it will be. But I mean, he's seen an uptick in targets. The first 2 weeks he saw three targets a game. It's been 5-9-5. So he's seen 19 targets over the past three games, and he looked, I mean, this past week he looked like he was struggling with a shoulder injury. And I mean, so if he can be healthy, if he's getting 5 to 10 targets a game, that's not bad for DFS. It's really going to be, I think, about the defense that they're playing against more than anything, because if you're playing against a defense that's not giving up a ton, then the Bears offense isn't going to do anything to change that. But if you're playing against, so like Carolina's secondary, they play a lot of cover eight, and so they're not going to give up a ton of deep balls. You're going to dink and dunk, and so maybe he gets the volume, maybe they just stick with David Montgomery. So I don't think this game is anything crazy, but all of a sudden you have the Rams. They're playing against the Rams, and now you have Aaron Donald stuffing any run, and you have Jalen Ramsey matched up on Allen Robinson, which will be a good one. Well, okay, Darnell Mooney in the slot there. That's one where I'm excited. Same thing with the Saints. Like, there are a couple games coming up where maybe you get excited about a DFS play if you think that the Bears offense is going to have any sort of traction. So I think this week seeing against Carolina how Nick Foles just actually looks like. Is he making dumb throws? Is he overthrowing Allen Robinson by 4 feet like Mitch would do, or is he hitting his target? I think that's going to tell you more about if Darnell Mooney is going to have this upside, because week 7 and 8, he's got a ton of upside as far as the defenses they're playing.
Yeah. So your formula, and I would agree with this, your formula is you want a matchup shadow corner on Allen Robinson, and then you have Mooney free to play against whoever that two is.
Exactly.
The Rams and the Saints, their two are not particularly valuable. So
right. And even, I mean, Darnell Mooney's not necessarily going to play out wide. They'll probably have him in the slot a good amount of time. Even they even had this past week, I believe they split a tight end out wide and had Darnell Mooney in the slot just to get him matched up on a slot corner, a nickel corner. And so there are very few nickel corners that are going to, especially playing off man against a guy who runs a 4-3-8, there are very few nickel corners that are going to be able to hang with that. And so he's, especially, who's it, PJ Hall or something, or PJ Williams in New Orleans. And so I think there are I think there are two fun DFS matchups coming up. I wouldn't put him in any of my dynasty or redraft leagues. I wouldn't start him, but I think you, yeah, that's the formula. Shadow man corner on A-Rob, and Darnell Mooney just kind of getting overlooked by the defense.
Yeah. So you just, yeah.
I just said everything you just said again.
Yeah, no, you're good. The corner opposite with the Saints is Janoris Jenkins. And so that might be like a fun eval matchup for him, right?
Right.
You get to see what he is against a pretty solid corner. You get to see kind of like how well he, you know, does he have true potential to be a real dude? Or do you have to like play him as a desperation kind of play?
No, and that's my point
skill,
is
a skill of eval for sure.
Totally. I think my thought is, are they going to split him out wide? Is he going to be matched up with Janoris Jenkins, or are they going to do what they've done with that Trey look, and then all of a sudden Darnell is in the slot with A-Rob, you know,
right?
With A-Rob out wide. So yeah. Will they scheme him away from Jackrabbit?
I'm digging. Yeah.
So, yeah, those will be interesting.
He'll be a cheap dart throw. That's
yeah. I'll for sure have him in a probably against the Rams more than the Saints, just because I think the Bears are going to have to score a lot of points to keep up. So whereas the Saints may or may not, we'll see. But yeah, I think Rams will be the first game where I would trust him in a DFS lineup. Probably not this week, but I do like his future in the league. Probably needs to gain a little bit of weight. But I do like where he's at.
High point Hamler, man.
Yeah. When you get a speed guy that can do a jump ball, that's like,
what else do you want?
Right. That he's Johnny Knox.
Yeah. Henry Ruggs.
You know, they're these guys that if the offense can use them properly, that's they're a great asset to have, flex guys. So that's what I got. All right.
All right, man. You got any thoughts? I think we're going to the Mooney.
Yeah, we're going to the Mooney.
You know, I might, because Will Fuller is so successful that he just does whatever he wants now, which was, you know, honestly, I predicted that prior to the season. We said this was going to be his year. But we might have to move to a new moon phase analysis. I'm not sure. We'll definitely have to be mixing in some Mooney.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. Maybe we check the, I'm wondering if it's moon phase or if we check the stock market.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Intrigue.
We'll see. I'm not a big stonks guy. Maybe it's Bitcoin. Let's go check Bitcoin's trends.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, oh, maybe it's show me the Mooney.
Wow. There's a lot of good potential here.
We'll see.
Definitely needs to be. We're ready to investigate.
We are ready to investigate. We'll have that for you in the near future.
Oh yeah, next pod we'll have it settled.
last thing real quick. Benjamin Albright. I don't know. He's another
Broncos guy who fights with
the Broncos guy. Yeah. And so he's saying, so someone asked him, is Le'Veon really going to sign with the Chiefs? He said, it's looking that way. Not done yet. There are four other names in there: the Bears, Raiders, Patriots, and Dolphins. So that's kind of what we're looking at there per some beat reporters. Just two of the Bears and Patriots we already talked about. Raiders doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but just behind Josh Jacobs, it's not bad because I think Josh Jacobs is a stud.
Wow.
And then Dolphins, it makes a decent amount of sense, but again, I don't know why he would want to go to Miami right now. I think he'd rather go to a contending team, not one that's kind of looking to transition between Ryan Fitzpatrick, as great as he is, and Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
So I think Chiefs makes the most sense.
Oh boy.
All right. Well, let's tune in next time.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Oh, can't wait. All right, brother. Great hanging. Thank you for everyone listening to us. We are the Fantasy Football Astronauts, and we are blasting off again.
Cassette.